reading in Daniel chapter 12 tonight. It's a bedtime story. Praise the Lord. I feel a charge in the Holy Ghost. My goodness. Daniel chapter 12. Daniel is a prophet during the exile of Judah in Babylon. He will be there for the entirety of his adult life. And God has opened the heavens to him. Those restrictive environs have not shut the window of heaven. He's hearing from God. He's experiencing miracles. He's seeing visions. He's having revelations. And all of that in a pagan land and surrounded by people that were at one time God's people, but now they've totally given up hope. But it doesn't affect him. He is as hot about the things of God as anybody's ever been. He is as receptive and open, and God is pouring it out on him. They're off location. Jerusalem is destroyed, and the temple is in ruin. But it doesn't make any difference at all. He's hearing from God. Circumstances don't matter. God is the same anywhere. Circumstances don't change the accessibility we have to God. Praise God. And in this 12th chapter, Daniel has finished all the revelation, and this is the end of the book, and he's having another vision here at the very end. The vision goes on beyond Moses, and the vision goes on beyond Daniel, and it goes on beyond us. Chapter 12 in verse 4. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Down in verse 8, and I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end. And then verse 13, but go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest. You're going to die, Daniel, and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. This is a vision that he's having, a last word that he's hearing. He wants some explanation on it, but the angel says it's closed up to the very end. You can't even know about this, Daniel. And he said, don't worry about it. Just go on your way. You're going to rest, or you're going to sleep or die, and you'll stand with your peers at the end of time. God bless you. You can be seated, and as you are, let's give him thanks and praise for his word. His word is forever settled in the heavens. Thank you, mighty God, for the privilege to handle your word in this house tonight, to be filled with your spirit, to know you in spirit and in truth. God, open your word to us. Cause us to be wise regarding the things in this book. And everyone say, in Jesus' name, praise God. Daniel is hearing about the end time. In chapter 12, verse 1, at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which stands for the children of thy people. Michael then is for Israel, as the prince of Persia is for Persia, and the prince of Grecia is for Grecia. Michael is the archangel of Israel. That time Michael shall stand up, the great prince that stands for the children of the people. There shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. You understand and you get the drift that we're dealing with things in these first two verses of chapter 12 that have not happened yet. We're dealing with a time of trouble that the world has never seen the likes of before. That has yet to happen. We're dealing with the day of the resurrection. And he's telling him Israel is going to be resurrected, but he's not talking about the resurgence of Israel as a nation or the rebuilding of Jerusalem. He's talking about resurrection out of the grave, getting to be alive again. And that has not happened yet. And so in this 12th chapter, we are dealing with some things as in the earlier chapters that are not just historical notes about the time of Daniel or even between Daniel's day, which is 6th century B.C., and our day, but we're dealing with things that are in our day and beyond, things that have not happened yet. And Daniel wants to know about it, but the Lord tells him by the angel, close the book, Daniel, and go to sleep, even to the time of the end. In another verse, till the time of the end. And yet another verse, go thy way till the end be. The book is closed and the book is sealed, he said, until the end of time. And so the things that are projected here are projected to a place that the Bible calls regularly in this very short passage, the end or the end of time. And so the things that are happening there or spoken of there are going to be happening at the end of time. And if you see these things happening, then you'll know that you are seeing things that are happening at the end of time. And if you're living in the time when these things are fulfilled or they begin to emerge, then you know you're living at a time the Bible calls the end of time. Everybody say praise the Lord. Now, Daniel did go to sleep, and he died there, Israel, according to the word of God spoken by the prophets and by Daniel specifically. Israel went back to the land, back to Israel. Israel went back to Jerusalem and rebuilt the walls, according to Daniel, in troublesome or troublous times. And so the wall was rebuilt while Daniel is asleep. His book is closed, but the things that were spoken of and sent to him by a whirlwind in a dream and spoken by angels to him down by the river Ulai, those things while he's asleep, those things are coming to pass. They're spinning out of this book at their appointed time. They're moving in and kingdoms are being established and thrones are being set up and taken down, all because of the words that were spoken in this book. Praise God. While Daniel is asleep, the angels are moving and the word of God is coming to pass. Alexander the Great rises. Daniel calls him a great horn, and he is the first king of Greece. The history book names him. His name is Alexander, but he's been prophesied about in this book of Daniel. And while Daniel is asleep, Alexander emerges. His dad was the king of Mesopotamia, but now Alexander's the king of an organized and unified Grecian nation, and he conquers the world from Egypt all the way to India. And when he dies, according to the book of Daniel, four of his kings will emerge. And the history book tells you those kings have emerged exactly like Daniel's prophecy foretold. And these kings set up kingdoms, dividing ancient Grecia into four major areas. The two that are of interest to biblical study are the Seleucids in Assyria and the Ptolemies in Egypt. The Ptolemies are where Cleopatra comes from, and the Seleucids are where Antiochus Epiphanes will come from. He also being prophesied about by the book of Daniel. While Daniel is asleep, his word has told about a notable horn that will rise up. When you're reading prophecy, horns are kings in the book of Revelation or in the book of Daniel. Symbolic horns are kings. And he talks about a king that would bring an abomination of desolation to Israel and to Jerusalem. And this man, Antiochus Epiphanes, who is one of the Seleucid kings, he comes into the temple and he Hellenizes all the young people, makes them walk after the Grecian culture and makes them worship the Grecian gods and causes them to follow after the traditions and the Hellenistic culture of Greece. And he takes a pig, the most unclean animal to the Jews, and he slays it on the altar in the temple. All of this is happening according to what God has shown Daniel. These are verbatim prophecies out of the book of Daniel, but while they're happening, Daniel is asleep. Daniel is dead. He's sleeping with his fathers. He is resting in God. He is in Abraham's bosom, however you'd like to say it. He is asleep, but the things that have been prophesied to him, they are continuing to go. And Daniel's wake-up call isn't slated until the end of time. He said, you're going to sleep. You're going to rest until the end of time, and all these things are going to happen at the end of time. And then you, Daniel, you're going to arise. Praise God. King Antiochus is part of Daniel's prophecy. That comes to pass. Daniel chapter 9 projects to a time when the Messiah would come. The Messiah comes 600 years after Daniel. But Daniel not only prophesies that he will come, Daniel gives the time that you could know. The Jews should have known when Jesus was coming and who he was because of the calendar on their desk. The Bible teaches in Daniel that it would be 490 years from the time the decree goes forth to rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah, the Prince. And Jesus is Messiah, and he is the Prince, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They should have known who he was, but Daniel goes on to say, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. And it's true, according to the word of God, those years went by. Daniel was asleep. Messiah emerged out of Bethlehem. He became a man, the carpenter's son. And after 3.5 years of ministry, he was cut off, but not for himself. He was cut off for my sin and for your sin. And the word of God prophesied it. And the word of God gave you the calendar for it. And it all happened according to what was prophesied in Daniel's visions and dreams. But now that Daniel is asleep, it's coming to pass, and it's breaking forth out of the word of God. The word of God is like seed planted, and when it comes its time, a phrase that is common in the word of God is, in the fullness of time. In the fullness of time, God brought forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. Daniel is asleep. The prophet doesn't have to be awake. This word of God that's been shown, that he carefully pinned down for his benefit and those who would follow, and even us here at what I believe is the end of time. The word of God is powerful for us. Daniel's not here to talk to us, but the word of God by his hand is speaking to us tonight, and the prophecies are emerging, and the seed is breaking forth, and the word of God is coming to pass in our lives. And all along the way, there have been those ignorant to the word of God, those who deny the word of God, those who casually pass by and are not interested in the word of God. But there's coming a day, the Bible calls the end of time, when all of these things are going to be brought to pass, and the prophets are going to rise up out of the dust of the earth, and they're going to stand on their feet before God. Every man, every woman, every child, everything that's ever lived on the earth is going to rise again and stand before God. As sure as the history book has unfolded, as prophecy fulfilled out of the mouth of Daniel, as sure as there is yet prophecy to be fulfilled, and it is emerging in our day, God is coming back. The word of God is true. We will stand before him in that last day. And I'm glad to tell you that there's a way that you can stand before him and be glad for that day. There's a way that you can stand before him and not be ashamed. There's a place you can be where he says, I am not ashamed to be called their God. My God, I appreciate the prophecy of the word of God. When I pray in my daily prayer, I thank God for the infallible proof of the prophecies of the word of God, because it gives me an infallible proof that the Bible is true. When I look at Israel, which Daniel speaks of and Isaiah speaks of and Deuteronomy tells me about, in Jesus in Luke 21 and Matthew 24, they've all prophesied about the reemergence of Israel and the rebuilding of Jerusalem. When I see those things happening in my world, it is an infallible proof. I cannot deny it. I can't walk by it without handling it. It is the most extraordinary thing that is happening in our world today. It's more important than the kings on their thrones or the Hollywood stars in their latest flick. It's more important than who won the Super Bowl or who hit the most home runs. It's more important than the decrees of the Congress or the Senate or the House. It's more important important than what President Bush has. I'm telling you, this is the most important thing that you're going to encounter in your life. If you'll lift up your eyes, you'll begin to look at it. You need to know this. You need to have this. It's coming to pass. It already has. Your history book is a testament to the veracity, to the truth, to the infallibility of this book. I don't look to the history book to affirm the Word of God. The Word of God stands all by itself, doesn't need affirmation. But if you're at least interested, you ought to pick up a history book in the book of Daniel, and you ought to understand that Daniel said it before it happened. And he said more. And it's going to happen. Praise God. Praise God. In chapter 9, verse 26, Daniel says, Jerusalem shall be destroyed. And this is projected within the context of the Messiah. So this is not the destruction of Jerusalem in Daniel's day. This is a second destruction of Jerusalem. If you wanted to cross-reference Isaiah chapter 11, verse 10 and 11, you'll see that Isaiah proclaims that Jerusalem will be destroyed. Israel will be scattered twice in all the earth. This is the second. It's couched in language that lets you know it's in the time after the Messiah is cut off. Jerusalem will be destroyed by the people of the prince that shall come. Jerusalem was destroyed by the Romans. It lets you know that the prince that shall come, it's speaking about the Antichrist. It's telling you that the prince that shall come is going to emerge out of a modern day Roman system. It won't be, you know, Rome is no better than a little backwater third world country right now, or Italy rather. And so it's not the strength that it once was. But in the Holy Roman Empire, you still have the existence of a kingdom that is comprised of a billion people. The sun never sets on it, and it has tremendous power and leverage, and it's going to have an increasing role in end time prophecy. Don't have time to really go into that with you right now, but when it says Jerusalem is destroyed by the people of the prince who shall come, Jerusalem was in fact destroyed in 70 AD by Titus, the Roman general. It was the Romans. And so we understand that the prince is going to come out of what the Bible calls Rome. It won't be Rome in the historic sense. It's going to be Rome in the sense of a new emerging Roman Empire, which clearly looks a lot like the emerging European Economic Community and the United Nations groups. You need to keep your eye on that if you're interested in biblical prophecy. But Jerusalem was in fact destroyed, and we can look for the Antichrist to come out of that heritage or that lineage of people. Praise God. Daniel was put to sleep, or he was told to go on to sleep, Daniel, and these things are going to happen in the end of time, and then you will you'll awaken and you'll be raised up. Praise the Lord. I want to tell you that Daniel is about to get a wake-up call. Daniel and the prophets of old are about to get a wake-up call. We can see that as we study the Word of God, if you're familiar with the book of Daniel, when you crack the covers on the book of Revelation, you find that John, who was one of Jesus' disciples, he is also a prophet in his own right. And as Daniel before him, 600 years after Daniel, and after Jesus has been crucified, buried, and resurrected, John has lived through the church age, and he lives longer than any of the other original of the apostles. And John is on a prison island called Patmos. And while he's there, he receives a revelation. We call it the apocalypse, or it's the revelation of John. And he's in the spirit on the Lord's day, and God appears to him. Jesus Christ, immortal and glorified, appears to him in Revelation chapter 1 and begins to unfurl the revelation to him. The revelation is a peek at or an unfurling of something that Daniel would call a time and times and a half a time. He's talking about a time of trouble on the earth. Daniel gave a revelation of 70 weeks or 77s. It was a period of 490 years that Daniel heard was determined upon thy people, which would be Israel, and thy holy city, which would be Jerusalem. From the time of Nehemiah going forth to rebuild Jerusalem to the time of the crucifixion, you have 69 of Daniel's 70 weeks. You have a dangling week out there. Those weeks or weeks of years. You have a 7-year period of time that has never been fulfilled in biblical prophecy as it emerges into real time or into history. And so the vision or the revelation that John gets on Patmos about the book of Revelation is unfurling of that 70th week of Daniel, or that unfulfilled final 7-year stretch that the book of Daniel talks about. And we get an insight now into the book of Daniel by the book of Revelation. You can't really study one without studying the other, because they are so closely connected. And John receives a vision of what the 7 years is going to be like, and what the last 3.5 years, which is generally known as the time of great tribulation. He gets a vision of that Daniel never got. For an example, if you would read in Daniel, you would see a vision that Daniel gets of a series of animal symbols that are revealed to him. One is a great lion with eagle's wings coming out of its back, and the eagle's wings are torn away, and they stand upon their feet, and they become like a man. And the next image is an image of a great bear, and the third image is an image of a leopard with 4 heads, and the final image is indescribable, and he can't tell you so much as to what it is. It's just a great beast. And all of these rise up out of the sea in Daniel's vision. Well, when we see John's vision on the Isle of Patmos for Revelation, we see that Daniel's images have coalesced, and Daniel's nations, which these animal symbols are symbolic of or representative of, they are nations, and they come together within the context of those chapters. They come together in a time that is at the end of time. And as you study that, you know that these nations are going to be in evidence at the coming of the Lord and the establishing of his kingdom, everlasting kingdom, on the earth. And as we see this in the book of Revelation, we see John not telling us about individual animals, not about a separate lion and a separate bear and a separate leopard with 4 heads and another great beast. But when John sees it, he sees the whole crowd coming up at once out of the sea, and it has coalesced into one great beast. It speaks with the mouth of the lion. It has the attributes of a bear, and it has the heads of the leopard, and it's a great beast that rises up. In the discussion of the book of Revelation, this is the beast from whence the Antichrist will emerge. This is the beast of the end time, we might call the Antichrist system. And we look at it, and it's a little bit terrifying and maybe a little bit hard to understand. But as we look at it, we know that these are representative of nations that are in evidence at the end of time that Daniel was talking about. And as we do that, we just look around our world today and we say, well, is there a nation that is symbolized by a lion? And if you do a brief and just a simple study, you find that Great Britain is the animal symbol for Great Britain is a lion. And you understand then that the vision that Daniel had, the lion with eagle's wings in his back, as those wings are torn off, we understand that there was another nation that emerged from that lion or from Great Britain whose animal symbol is an eagle. Can anybody think of that? Who in the world would that be? Well, we understand that that's the national symbol. Pull out a dollar bill and look on the back. There's a big eagle spread out across the back of your dollar bill. And the United States came out of Great Britain, and then Great Britain is in league now with a leopard that has four heads. And we don't have to look far to understand that a leopard with four heads is instructive of modern-day Germany. And Germany's national animal symbol is a leopard. And their tanks are called leopard tanks. And it had three heads coming into World War II. Hitler called it the Third Reich or the Third Kingdom. And we didn't like that. The Allies that overcame Hitler in World War II, they were decided that they would not let Hitler's followers rise up and have another emergence of Germany, because when Germany arises, it tries to conquer the world. And so we drew a line down the middle of Germany, and we split Berlin in half, and we said we'll put a wound in the middle of this creature so that it never rises up again. And the news publications from that time and from the late 50s all the way into the 60s and 70s call that Berlin Wall and that dividing of Germany, called it a great wound that will not heal, called it a wound in Germany, or an awful scar that runs through Berlin. And in our days and some of our lifetimes, we've seen the day when that last head has begun to emerge, and the Berlin Wall has fallen now. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 13 that deadly wound would be healed. One of its heads was wounded as unto death, but the Bible said the deadly wound was healed, and that happened when the Berlin Wall fell, and now Germany is one. We used to wonder how Ezekiel 38 could come to pass, where Germany marches in an end time group of nations against Israel, because Germany was divided east and west, but she's not divided anymore. I used to teach that Bible study, Brother Robbie, and wonder how will Germany be a part of that as a nation, because she was divided. She couldn't do anything militarily, but now she's not divided anymore, and that fourth leopard head or that fourth kingdom is on the rise right now. And that bear, everybody would know, anybody that came through the Cold War year knows that the bear is Russia. And but now we don't see individual nations in the book of Revelation. We see them coalesced into a union. That union didn't exist in the time of Daniel, and it didn't exist in the time of John. Those nations didn't even exist in the time of John. But 2,000 years later, we are standing here right now, and that bear and that leopard and that lion and that great beast have coalesced, and the United Nations right now is full of the power of that animal symbol. The Bible is so language specific. It says, and it speaks with the mouth of the lion. The predominant language of the United Nations and international commerce and business is English. And England is the nation that has the animal symbol of the lion. And the Bible is so very, very specific about that. Now, I know I'm moving through this kind of pell-mell tonight, and we're not reading the scripture as we often is our custom, but I want to get on to where we're going with this tonight. There is an incredible scripture. Pull up, Dustin, if you would, Zechariah chapter 12 and verses. You can just start in verse 1. These are scriptures. Zechariah 12, 13, and 14 have to do with what Daniel called the end of time. Go to sleep, Daniel, until the end of time. These words are sealed until the end, the time of the end. Zechariah 12 and 1, the burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord that stretches forth the heavens and lays the foundation of the earth and forms the spirit of man within him. This is God that made all things. Behold, I'll make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about when they shall be in the siege both against Judah and Jerusalem. And in that day I'll make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people, and all that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered against it. As you would go on and read that chapter, if you would read it down at the end, the Lord comes back. And all of Israel sees him. And the scripture says it like this. God is still speaking in the first person. And he says, in that day I'll go forth as I went forth in the days of battle. And he said, all of the governors of Judah shall be like David. And the house of David shall be like the angel of the Lord before Israel. And he's talking about when God comes back at Armageddon. And he says, Israel's going to see him. And he says it this way. They shall look upon me whom they have pierced. pierced. God, from 700 years before Bethlehem, says there's going to be a day when all this is over and finished, and I come back to settle it all in one final battle. And when I do, I come back to Israel, and they look up and they're expecting the Messiah, but they're going to see him and they're going to say, where did you get those wounds in your hands? In chapter 13 and verse 6, and he says, these are those that I received in the house of my friends. In that verse, chapter 12, I went through all that to establish context. This is a passage about the time of the coming of the Lord. This is not about some Old Testament battle. This is not about some Old Testament interaction. This is about the day of the coming of the Lord, or the day of the Lord, or the day of his wrath. And here at the last of this third verse, though all the people of the earth be gathered against it, I want you to understand there has never been a time in all of recorded history when all of the people of the earth ever did anything together. It has never taken place before. But as of a year ago, last September, when Switzerland became a part of the United Nations, now every nation under the sun is a part of the United Nations, is a member state of the United Nations, and will do anything. Now, when we went to war in Iraq in 1990, Russia sat out. And they didn't take part because they had a relationship with Iraq. They didn't want to be a part of that. And so they weren't physically there on the side of the United Nations. They were physically there selling arms and maintaining and fighting on behalf of Iraq and Saddam Hussein. But that's another story. But they set out. But when the United Nations went in there, it was indicative of all the nations on the earth. Everybody, when they went, Russia was represented, even though they weren't there physically. And I want you to know, in these last days, for the very first time, there's going to be a conglomerate of nations that are going to come up against Israel. The Word of God tells us very plainly, and all the nations of the earth are going to be represented there. This is the first time in all of history that is possible. That is an indicator to me that we are living in the last days, or in the day that Daniel spoke of, the end of time, or the time of the end. This is the first time that these nations are in a coalesced or a conglomerate form together. Somebody say praise the Lord. The book of Daniel, rather than the book of Revelation, is an overview of Daniel's 70th week. As we're reading the book of Daniel, chapter 12, we see that phrase, a time and times and a half a time, in response to a question that Daniel's going to ask. And you hear that, and it doesn't make a lot of sense to us. And verse 6, chapter 12, verse 6, one says unto the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? Or how long will it be till all of these prophecies are fulfilled? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be a time and times and a half, or a half a times, when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, and all these things shall be finished. It is generally accepted that this is, in the language of the days, indicating a year and 2 years, a year being a time, 2 years being times, and a half a time being a half a year. So you're looking at 3.5 years, a year, 2 years, and a half a year. 3.5 years, he said, and it's all going to be over. There's going to be a special emphasis and a special focus on 3.5 years. When you move to the book of Revelation, you find that same identical phrase, time, times, and a half a time. You find it in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 14, in chapter 12 and verse 6, talking about Israel. Israel's going to be attacked by nations all around. And the time frame for that attack is the same language that is used in the book of Daniel. In chapter 12 and verse 6, the woman in this verse is Israel. The woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God. God that they should feed her there 1,203 days. The same time frame, just broken down into days. Verse 14, and to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. Chapter 12 in Revelation is an overview of the history of Israel from the beginning of her relationship with God all the way down to the time of Armageddon, from the birth and the resurrection of Jesus Christ all the way to the emergence of the Antichrist. And in this verse, all the nations of the world have gathered together against Israel, and to her, it says, is given the wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she's nourished for 3.5 years, or for this time of trouble. Now, we were talking about animal symbols and their connection with modern nations just a moment ago, and the animal symbol of the eagle is associated with the United States of America, and America is Israel's best friend right now. We are the natural or the secular reason that she exists. We supply her with all of her technology and her armaments, and we stand with her against the United Nations, against all the nations that would try to bring her down or to hound her back into the sea. And it's interesting here that the woman is given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she's nourished for 3.5 years. Verse 6 said this, the woman flees into the wilderness where she has a place prepared of God that they should feed her there for 3.5 years, or 1,203 days. It lets you know that there's going to be a nation that is a friend of Israel in the end time, whose animal symbol is that of an eagle. And you've got to look at that today. Israel is back. First, Israel has to be back. She's back. Jerusalem has to be rebuilt. She's rebuilt. We're standing in that day right now. She has to have a friend that has an animal symbol that is an eagle. And today Israel has a friend that has an animal symbol. And she has a friend that has the greatest air capacity of any nation in the world. I wonder who in the world that could be. Well, that's the United States of America. And it places it within a time frame or a time context. Israel's back. She has a friend that is symbolized by an eagle. She is being threatened by a group. Right now, the United Nations is ruling constantly against Israel. The Word of God clearly shows us in Revelation and in Daniel and in Ezekiel 38, there's going to be a multinational conglomerate that comes against Israel. And in the book of Revelation, it's got a lion's head. It's got four heads of a leopard. It's got qualities of a bear. It is a multinational group that is, in modern terms, it looks a lot like the United Nations. And we are living in that day that Daniel's angel visitor said, Daniel, you're going to sleep until the end of the time, or seal the book until the time of the end. I want to tell you tonight, Daniel is about to get a wake-up call. Daniel has been asleep now for 2,600 years, but this thing is winding down. How do you know that? Because the animal symbols are in nations all around us. How do you know that? Because Israel is back. Jerusalem is rebuilt. They're talking Hebrew in the streets of Jerusalem and Tel Aviv tonight. My God, these things are coming to pass. As we open the book of Revelation, and I won't go into great detail about it, but as I open the book of Revelation tonight, I understand that this is an overview of the last 3.5 years of what the Bible calls the end of time. It talks about in that time there'll be a nation which has an army of 200 million that is east of the Euphrates. For the 2,600 years from the time of Daniel's going to sleep to where we are right now, there has never been a nation that could field an army of 200 million. But right now in 2005, from the 70s unto modern times, Red China has had the capacity to field an army of 200 million. I don't know what that does for you, but it's another plank in my understanding of the fact that I'm living in the time that Daniel called the time of the end, or the end of time. as we read that 13th chapter of the book of Revelation. We know that that book of Revelation is a vision of the last 3.5 years, or the 7 years of Jacob's trouble, or Daniel's dangling 70th week. We read in that 13th chapter about a man called the Antichrist and how he's going to emerge, and his system is going to be an economic social system where every man, woman, and child takes a mark on the back of their right hand or in their forehead. Chapter 20 says if you don't take the mark, you get your head cut off. It simply means that if you're going to buy or sell, no man could buy or sell without the mark or the image of the beast. And for years, for 2,600 years, Daniel had spoken it. For 2,000 years, the word of John in his prophecy had spoken it. And that has never existed. The capacity, the technology for that has never existed. But now, where we're standing, you've got a wallet in your pocket or a card in your purse. And there's not a person in this place that probably doesn't have some kind of an electronic identification system in your on your person right now, so that you can go to the bank or go to Winn-Dixie or go to Walmart, and they know who you are, how much money you have, and all you have to do is swipe that thing. And that's just one little click away from a chip. And the next wave of technology is a chip. Tonight when you go home, you can pull it up on your own website. You can on your own computer, on the internet, you can pull up an application for VeriChip or for Digital Angel, and you can fill out an application to have your own personal VeriChip or Digital Angel installed in your hand. You can have it. It's the size of a grain of rice. It's a silicone chip. It can house every bit of information about you personally. They're using it all over Europe in veterinary science right now. It's possible in the United States. You can have Fido with a chip put in him. All they got to do is scan him when he comes in, and they know when he's been wormed and when he's had rabies shots and if he needs to be put to sleep or whatever they need to do with Fido. We're only a click away from that being done with people right now. The technology for the mark of the beast is upon us. What does that tell me? It tells me that we are at that place that Daniel's book called the end of time, or the time of the end. You can ignore these things if you want to, but there's a tide of those things rising up out of the word of God. Daniel is asleep, but these things are spinning out of the word of God and coming to pass in my world and in my life. It's in my city. My God, I was listening to the radio yesterday. I was listening to a discussion about the state of Oregon. They're very concerned because they've pounded the drum on conservation of energy and fuel efficiency so well that everybody's driving hybrid cars, or they're driving, there's a lot of tree huggers out there, and they're hugging. They're driving hybrid cars or very, very fuel efficient vehicles, and they just got a revelation. The revelation is when you use less gas and you get better mileage, they get less tax money per gallon. And now they're in a problem. They can see they have created a monster and they don't know what to do about it. Because as we become more smart and fuel efficient and we're not burning so much gas, now they get fewer and fewer tax dollars. And that's what fixes the roads and keeps the infrastructure together. So what are they doing? They are devising a plan. They're putting it into action in Oregon so that your car has a chip in it. And when you drive up to the pump, it knows you and recognizes you, and it knows how far you've driven, and it charges you taxes based on usage. It recognizes you when you drive up to the pump. And I said, hello, Daniel. Hello, John. Right up in the middle of Oregon. And whole discussion is really funny from a lot of different perspectives, but it's very interesting to us on the basis of a prophetic discussion, because that technology is here. The mark of the beast, Revelation 13, is being fulfilled in our day right now. You are about to see the very next wave of that. And as it comes, we've got to make some serious decisions about, do I take the mark? Do I take a chip, even though it's not in the first generation of it? It's not the mark of the beast. Do I take that? I don't think so. Praise God. Daniel is about to get a wake-up call. The prophecy of the word of God is taking place all around us. And the word of God in Daniel and in Revelation is coming to pass right now. It doesn't matter how you feel, it's happening. It doesn't matter how you want to live, it's happening. It doesn't matter if you believe it, it's happening. You will believe it, because it's gonna stand up in front of you and slap you upside the head one morning. But it may be too late at that point. Well, Daniel's about to get a wake-up call. He's about to wake up out of the dust. But I think that it's a wake-up call for all of us. When I get caught in the fury of a day, and I'm working, and I'm running, and you're keeping house and home together, and all the stress and the strain and personal pressure, and you're getting hacked off at people around you, or you're getting tempted to do something you know that's not pleasing to God, you need to rise up out of that for a minute and say, Daniel is getting a wake-up call. I'm getting a wake-up call. We are living in the last days. We are living in what Daniel calls the end of time. Praise the Lord. Why don't we stand together? Praise God. What do you do about it? Well, God has some expectations. You have a problem. I have a problem. We are descendants of Adam. And Adam fell out of favor with God because of sin. Our problem is not the sin. Our problem is distance from God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. The cure for that is to come draw near to God. The Bible says he'll draw near unto you as you draw near unto him. God's not mad at you about your sin. God loves you. Messiah was cut off, but not for himself. Messiah was cut off for me and for you. And tonight, he'd like for you, more than anything in the world, God would like for you to be ready when Daniel gets his wake-up call and people start coming up out of the grave. The scripture said some to everlasting life and some to everlasting condemnation. My God. This thing is happening as sure as you're living and breathing in this place. This thing is happening. And Brother Cedric, I want to be right with God more than anything in the world. More than I want to be mad at you, I want to be right with God. You know what? I'd hate your guts if God had let me, but I just... I can't. I got to go to heaven. I've got to love you. Man. I've got to be honest. I've got to be righteous. I've got to be kind. I've got to love the people of God. I can't be a slanderer because of the times we're living in. I've got to be righteous. Jermaine, I've got to be right. I've got to be filled up with the Holy Ghost. I can't be found among those foolish virgins that ran out of oil and weren't ready. Come on, there's a cry coming up in the street. Let's come down to the altar together tonight. There's a cry coming up in the street. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. I want to be filled up with the Spirit of God. If you'd like to receive the Holy Ghost tonight, you can have it. It's prophecy. If you're first down here, step up on the steps. Make room. Take somebody by the hand. Let's stand together. I praise you.
I will praise the Lord.
It's too late in the day to be anything other than on fire and ready.
I will praise the Lord.
No matter what tomorrow brings.
No matter what tomorrow brings.
What
it has in store. I know.
Heart. I want to be right, God. I want to be found pleasing.